Zedheads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
Me, I'm Lucy.
This is the Walking Dead cast episode 480.
And this episode, we're covering Tales of the Walking Dead season 1, episode 6, La Doña.
And I'm thrilled to say that we have a special guest with us today. It's our friend and Fear the Walking Dead lover, Danny.
Hi. Yay.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Yo soy Danny.
Yo soy Danny.
Danny will be doing the entire podcast in Spanish.
Yes.
That would be very
We won't understand any of it. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know what you're saying, unfortunately. I took French for some dumb reason.
And we lost all our French listeners last week, so that's out the window.
I wanted to mention two things quickly. One is I put up a post on... No, that's the more interesting one. I'll save that for last. We are dabbling in YouTube, so we've live streamed instant reactions to the last two episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead right after they aired. Me and a couple of other Zed heads, because Lucy can't do it because it's 3 a.m. for her.
It's 3 a.m. Yeah.
Went on and just talked about our immediate reactions to it. We're planning to do the same with at least a few first few episodes of The Walking Dead when it comes back in a couple of weeks, the final 8. So if you are interested in that, you should like and subscribe to our YouTube. You can find that by searching for Podcastica on YouTube, or I'll put up a link at podcastica.com. I have to remember to do that. The second thing is I put up a post on our Facebook page asking which two Podcastica hosts people would want to have a drink with. And Lucy, you came out on top on that. Woo-hoo. One. There's like 20 of us, but you got like 17 votes.
Nice. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Mom, for voting.
Yeah, your mom voted a few times.
Yeah, she signed in.
So with that said, let's get into this week's episode, Tales of the Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 6, La Doña, the season and hopefully not series finale. So Danny, what did you think about this one? Or how have you liked the series so far?
It's been interesting because... I made a list and I was like, the first episode was good. My favorite episode was the second one, just because I like Parker Posey.
The Groundhog Day Yay. One.
Yeah. I love her. She's great. I loved her in Scream 3. She was amazing in that movie. I always go back to that, her performance.
Do you ever see Best in Show?
Oh, I love Best
in Show. I have not. I heard you say something about that. And I was like, yeah. It's on my list to watch. But no, I have not. But I love her.
Only watch that if you want to smile and be happy.
If you're a Schitt's Creek fan, you've got Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara as well in that in Best in Show, which is excellent.
To watch that,
Then the three was D.
That was okay. It brought up a lot of questions of timeline wise and her character.
What if you took that out? Just forget about that confusing bit. Then would you?
That's a leading. You're leading the witness. You're leading the witness.
No, I'm just curious because I feel like it's an unfortunate thing because it really overshadows everything else about the episode, you know. And I'm just curious if that part wasn't there at the end where you're like, what? Would you like it or not?
I would like it. I feel like they would. They need to go more in depth with it because there's. Okay. I liked the episode. I liked her intuition that there was something going on, and she was right.
And they didn't trust her.
Yeah, they didn't trust her. And then just her relationship with her daughter. Oh my God, why am I drawing a blank on her name?
Lydia.
Yes. Just that whole dynamic and her trying to always protect her daughter, and just it goes on with the show. Like, she's always wanted the best for her daughter, even though we see it as bad intent, but she always has the best.
Her methods are perhaps questionable, but her
exactly. Right.
So what about 4? That was the one with Dr. Everett.
I hated that episode. I hated that because Amy yelling and just kept yelling. I was like, you're calling the Zeds to you. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is ruled, or like the number one rule, don't make noise. And she was just yelling and yelling constantly. And then I just, the whole episode, and then I couldn't get away with the whole drone thing. Like, oh, were we that tech savvy that we had drones at that point?
When, no.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that kind of took away from it. So I didn't like that one at all. The next one, Devon, was, I liked it. I liked that one. Just the way that it was shot and everything. Kind of, I like that. Mm-hmm. And then
this
episode was very interesting. We'll go more in depth with it, but it was interesting because it kind of didn't feel like a Walking Dead episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So it was okay.
Yeah, I wonder, I feel like, I think when we did the instant reactions, or at some point I was talking to somebody, they were saying having the title The Walking Dead may not be great for this show, because if Walking Dead fans come to it wanting to have the feel of The Walking Dead, it's not going to, for the most part. And if they, a lot of people fell off The Walking Dead a long time ago, so they just think, oh, a Walking Dead spinoff, I'm not going to watch that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I fear for, maybe that was you and me last week. Anyway, okay, we got your general reaction. What about you, Lucy? What did you think?
I'm here to be convinced, because honestly, I did not dig this episode. I'm here to listen. I don't know if I was just in a bad mood while I was watching it, but yes, I'm here to be convinced.
I think this is an episode that if you were in a bad mood, it would be easy not to like. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
For me, I thought it was, well, I feel like it's hard to argue, because it's kind of like episode 2, the Groundhog Day one, where you could have a real world explanation, as kind of far out as even that was, a shared hallucination or whatever. This is the same thing. You could potentially say that they were drugged or they were just kind of going out of their minds. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man, especially at the end when LaDonia's throwing them around with her telekinesis, it's hard to argue that, right? And, and in that case, then it really breaks the rules of the Walking Dead universe. And I'm really bothered by that. But if you just say this was an episode of Tales from the Dark Side, then and evaluate it from that perspective, for me, I thought it was pretty good. It had a bunch of great moments, horror movie wise. When Sadie and I first covered the very first episode of this series, and it did feel more like a traditional Walking Dead episode, we thought, well, there could be a lot of potential here because we know next week's a comedy, but hopefully they'll do some horror. And this was it. This was the most horror movie episode of The Walking Dead, any Walking Dead thing ever, maybe. I don't know. I feel like I've said that a lot, but this one really, I mean, so anyway, I found it really enjoyable. I thought it was like a little horror movie. And it did have a little sprinkling of Walking Dead thematically, well trod ground there, but it was so much in the background that, because I'm kind of bored with all of that I thought it was used actually very well. So aside from the part about being bothered that it might break the rules of The Walking Dead, I actually liked it quite a lot. It's probably could have said in fewer words, but so Danny, well, what's your first point?
Well, for me, it really took away from, because it was kind of supernatural, like the whole bruja and the telekinesis of being thrown down into the basement, like pulled me away from it. And then the whole, I mean, it was a great, scary episode. I will give you that. It did give like scary, her laying in bed, and that, and Doña Alma shows up, and then the whole like dream sequence where she gets, she thinks she's getting bit on the neck.
Those moments, like the wallpaper like blinking at her.
Yes, those moments were really like
creative.
Yeah, it gave really, and it took away from me like, oh wait, I'm watching a Walking Dead episode, not a scary movie or a scary like whatever. So
for American me, that Horror was, Story or something.
Yeah, it was more that than it was a Walking Dead kind of situation. So for me, that it was good in that aspect, but this whole supernatural aspect of it was kind of, it took me away from the episode, and could have, I don't know, when they just dropped these moments of like the Zeds at the beginning, and then like in the basement with Maria being in the roots, and then at the very end, I was like, that was the only Walking Dead element to this episode. Everything else was supernatural.
Yeah.
To me, yeah. I mean, I have loved the change in tone and style in this series. But if they're going to throw in a witch, that feels a bit too far.
Yeah.
You know? So I want there to be a real world reason for all of it.
When I was talking to a friend about this, and you know how when it comes to like vampires, there's always the werewolf, and then there's always the witch. And so a friend of mine was mentioning like, oh, I'm surprised they didn't bring like a voodoo aspect to this, because when you talk about voodoo, they tend to bring back the dead, and that's kind of the aspect of that. So
That's an interesting point, but then it would sort of put a stake in the ground as far as where the zombies came from. And The Walking Dead has in 12 years not done that. You know, well, they say it's a virus, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you said the voodoo thing, that would be a little bit more definitive. So I feel like they should just not.
That does make a point.
Yeah.
What is a Doña? Is it like a healer woman, a witch woman? Like, how? I don't really know. It's not a cultural touchstone, I know.
No, right. So it's funny that you say that, because Doña is like a, kind of a prefix to like a female, like Mrs. Okay. Or like, you know. Like
Doña Alma was her name.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a respect, more of a respect aspect of it, of like Doña Maria or, you know, kind of thing. It's not like supernatural or anything.
Oh, okay.
But her title was a bruja.
Yes. Yes.
And so what is a bruja?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because in my notes, my great grandmother was a bruja. And I say it in quotations.
That's awesome.
and it's funny because walking into that, or the beginning of that scene where they walk into Doña Alma's house, is exactly how my great grandmother's house looked at night. With candle. There was like hundreds of candles lit throughout her house.
Wow.
And she had like all these like altars, and she had her little table she set up with tarot cards, and like that's how she made her living, was people would come and she would give them like remedies.
Wow.
To cure like stuff through herbs.
This is a total coincidence, by the way. I didn't invite Doña because I knew his grandma was a bruja.
That's and so
there's some voice.
Invite Danny on podcast.
But it was that really like, I was like, oh, that really like resonates with my great grandmother's house, and having chickens all over everywhere, and having birds.
Like, I think one of our feedback quotes talks about this, but being a bruja, it coexists with Catholicism. Like, you can have both.
That I don't know, because I wasn't really brought up religiously on my mom's side. But my mom, she read tarot cards, and
it was your mom wasn't religious though.
No, my mom was not religious. It was my dad who was.
I would hope so, because that was such a part of all of this, all the crosses and the Jesuses and everything. Jesus.
Well, Catholicism's a deeply spooky religion. Like, it's all about the kind of, you know, the Holy Ghost and, you know, the ritual and sacrament and all of that. It's kind of cool.
Well, Lucy, what about you?
Yeah, I kind of want to follow on from what Danny was saying about the sort of horror tone. I think for me, what bothered me, and I don't think was necessarily a good decision, was Eric is pretty chill throughout the whole thing, but then in the last 10 minutes or so, he starts to lose it. And then Idalia seems much more rational and strong, and that threw me a little bit. I kind of feel like it might have been more powerful if we just stuck with one of them losing their minds. Whereas when they kind of shifted and tried to have it both ways, that's when I got a bit confused and a bit like, this feels bloaty. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I am with this. If it's just one of them, I think that's more interesting, because it could be supernatural, it could be psychological, it could all be in the head of one person. But when it becomes a shared psychosis, you then start thinking, like, at one point Peter was just like, well, there's a gas leak, because she walks into the house and like smells something. But then we were both like, there are so many candles in this house, there is no way that's a gas leak, because the house would have exploded. That's right. So
that's true.
Yeah. I think that I liked the dynamic where it was her slowly losing her thread and Eric being more tough about it, because I like my men to be tough, my women to be weak, and that's how gender works.
And crazy.
Women are weak and crazy, and men are strong and hot. no, categorically not. Although both the leads were quite attractive in this episode,
yeah,
but I do feel that it got a bit muddled at the end. Mm-hmm. I think if it had a bit more room to breathe or a bit more time to build up the tension, it might have worked. But I feel like we suddenly flipped to Eric losing his mind. Like, it needed a little bit more.
I think I have a beat on why that happened.
Okay.
It feeds more into my points, so I think I'm going to wait to talk about it. But you ready for me to do my first one?
Yes.
I'm going to do one that I did last week, too, which is what I think actually happened.
Perfect.
And the fact that I would need this 2 weeks in a row shows that this show is a little bit inscrutable sometimes, and, you know, hard to figure out, confusing. I'm actually enjoying that, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people aren't.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Eric and Idalia, or Dolly, have been a couple traveling together for a while. They came upon Maria and her group. Dolly goes walking with Maria to look for food, and Maria tells her, we're on our way to this woman, Ladonia. She's a healer. She has this great place with a stone wall around it. And then I think Dolly killed Maria. And I think she did that so she could have the place for herself. Mm. And then when she went back to the others, they confronted her about Maria and didn't believe her. And Eric stood up for her and ended up killing their entire group, which we saw in flashbacks when he started to flip out and taking their guns. And this is where the episode opens. They're walking along, blood on their faces after this confrontation. The next morning, Maria Zombie is still following them, which is kind of funny. She's still following us. I just ignore her.
I'm team Maria, just for the record.
Pretty blasé. Yeah. Yeah. And, then Dolly said, oh, are we near the old campgrounds? I know this witch we can stay with. Sounds like a good idea. I read that Bruja is a sorcerer, a witch or a sorceress in Spanish. And it reminds me of Ash versus Evil Dead. Did either one of you see that show?
I still haven't.
There's an episode where one of the characters, Pablo, goes to see his uncle, who's a brujo. And he doses them. And, well, Ash anyway, and he hallucinates a bunch of stuff. So I kind of wonder if they weren't dosed here. But anyway, Dolly's not being truthful with Eric. She didn't know this place because it was near their old campgrounds. It was because Maria told her, which when they get there, Eric's washing up, so he's not in the room. Dolly tells Ladonia, or Alma, that she met Maria on the road, and she said she was headed there, but the zombies got her. And I think she didn't tell Eric that because she didn't want to admit that she killed Maria. She wants it to be Eric to be the one who does all the dirty work. So, and later when Eric asks her, why did you never tell me about this place? She goes, oh, I forgot about it, which is not true.
Yeah.
So then Alma tells them they can't stay, but she's feeding them. It reminds me of season two with Herschel and his farm. You can hang out for a little bit, but, and then Eric's like, I want to, what are we supposed to do? I want to stay here forever. And gets up. Like, I think he grabbed her. Did he grab her throat?
And,
he just got up. Like he was going to do something.
Banged on the table.
Yeah.
And she freaked out and looked like she started to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
And then she passed out,
choked and dropped dead. Mm-hmm. And I think they buried her. And then the rest of the episode, I think, is them feeling guilty about how they came to be there and driven crazy, being driven crazy either because LaDonia dosed them. I mean, she gave them food and they're also eating her food after that, although I don't know why she would dose her own food.
Jason, it's the apocalypse. She's got to get by. Like, she's all alone. Right. Why not?
But why dose them, like, if she wants them out? Maybe just in case they stayed, then she would have a little more control to take care of them, anyway, be more dominant. But in the end, I think the whole episode, they're sort of all the things that they've had to do in the apocalypse are starting to weigh on them. And it's either LaDonia's ghost or her drugs that are exacerbating that. And then they start losing trust with each other because, I think it's because, Dolly wants it to be Eric that's the bad guy, but he's like, well, I only killed those people because you know they were coming after you. So he killed a lot of people, but she only killed one, but she killed an innocent person and he killed in self-defense. You know, I think it's that kind of a thing. And it's only when he seems fine, you're right, and calm, until the bird says, what did you do? And that's when he starts to lose composure. So I think that's when he's starting to feel some guilt and some culpability about all this. And then they start pointing fingers at each other. So I think that's why I'm going into one of my other points here, but they say, you know, hey, you take what's in front of you and we were just surviving. And so they're saying these little phrases to try to make them feel better. Mm-hmm. And they even, there's a suggestion that they've killed a lot more people because she says all the people that we've ever met are down there. All the people that you like killed. And he's like, I didn't do it. We both did it together. We were in it together. So it sounds like they've just had this philosophy of, I think he was going to kill Alma when mm-hmm. he slammed his fist down on the table, but she died. You know, I just think they've been going around killing people and taking their shit. Basically now they're feeling bad about it.
And when he sees Maria at the gate, she is talking to him saying, she did this to me. You know, she did, Eric.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I thought the whole episode was about, basically.
I think that pretty much tracks with what I thought. I don't know if I thought Eric was going to kill her per se, but I wouldn't have been surprised if that had happened.
Yeah.
I just think
they'd gotten used to being very brutal and blasé about it. So he seemed chill, but I think he's actually a killer. That's my take. I mean, who knows? Yeah.
I think he really reminded me of Shane, like a younger, hotter Shane. I was like, whoa. It's like Latina Shane, Latino Shane. I was like, whoa. I'm confused. Both the leads were great. That was the other thing, is I feel like both Eric and Idalia were like fantastic performances.
Good chemistry too.
Yeah, I bought them as kind of a dynamic duo. But I just feel like but then I feel like I can hear an alternative Lucy where they do too much exposition and I'm like, why did they have to hit us over the head with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But it was definitely on the side of, is that really what happens? Mm-hmm. But I prefer that actually than doing too much like mm-hmm. Fear did.
Do we know how long they were in the house?
That's a really good question. I'd like to know the answer because
it just seemed like a few days.
Okay, because in my mind, I kept jumping around to like, oh, we're going to take a bath and then we're going to sleep. And then, so I wasn't sure how long they had been there because when they first arrived to the house, Alma keeps asking her like, well, how did you know about this place? And she's like, well, I used to live here and around here. And she's like, nobody lives around here. So lie number one.
I mean, she had said to Dolly had said to Eric early on, are we near our old campground? And he goes, I don't know. But that, I think that was her trying to make up a lie, because then she said, because I know someone that lives around here, when actually she just heard it from Maria, you know,
exactly,
just right before she killed her a few minutes ago. So I think, yeah, they were just wandering for a long time.
I also feel like if you asked me, make up a name that you think this older Spanish speaking lady might know, I would probably be like, yeah, Maria, you know, Maria. I'm like, oh, maybe be a bit more specific, like give a surname or like a more believable lie. Like,
well, yeah,
who do you know?
She did know who she was talking about, I think. She was like, I don't think she would send you here.
Yeah. And I think at that point, going off of your thought, Jason, is I think she caught on that she was lying. I mean, she Della only explained that there she has intuition and all this other stuff. So obviously she's going to catch on to these smaller lies that she's saying, because she kept changing her story from, oh, I used to live around here. And then she was like, oh, well, somebody sent me. And then all of a sudden she went with the sympathetic of, I'm going to speak to you in Spanish. And then all of a sudden she changed her mind, like, oh, well, since you spoke to me in Spanish, yeah, here's a warm meal and a bath you can take, whatever. But I feel like at that point, maybe she was like, okay, you guys are up to no good. I'm going to drug you guys and, you know, with something. Yeah. So that way to get you out of my house. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that could be an explanation.
I think you're right. And I mean, I don't know if this is true, but it does strike me that the only two instances of a bruja and a brujo that I've ever seen on TV, well, maybe this one and the one in Ash vs. Evil Dead, did use hallucinogenics. So maybe that's like a brujo thing to do, a bruja thing to do, you know?
Interesting.
I should have looked that up. If there was a podcast about this show, we could find out. Probably listen to it and find out. So Danny, wait, yeah, Danny, it's your turn.
Let me see here. I will say that there was the part where the cross, where she's sitting on the floor and she's putting the rosary around her neck, and all of a sudden the Jesus decides to take a dive. I started laughing so hard.
Danny, me too.
there were moments where I was laughing hard. Like at the beginning where she goes, Maria, stop following us. I started laughing because I'm like, you're talking to a walker, telling the walker, like, stop following us. And then that whole instant where Jesus takes a dive, and I'm like, what am I watching?
I find that so funny.
I did too, and I loved it. I think it was intentional. I mean, saying, yeah, she's still following us, it seemed funny to me on purpose. There were other little funny lines, like the about the dog. Oh, I hope your sister's dog is still alive.
Oh my God,
he's a one-eyed pug with a fall clothing collection. You know, so I think this episode had a sense of humor, and the Jesus part was one of my favorite. I don't think that was really supposed to be scary as much as twisted.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no dog or horse got hurt in this episode. And I was like, oh, poor Birdie.
Oh, I know. Just a handful of feathers.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Paco. Neck. Paco! The bird.
See, but those moments, Maria following, but even more the Jesus moment and the bird thing, as sad as it is, were great moments, I thought.
Yeah, they were great. They just made me laugh, and it took away from the tension. Horror of it. The tension of it, of being scary, because I was like, oh, I'm laughing in a horror movie. But I guess that's kind of the new thing with horror movies. They try to make it funny horror, and so I feel like that was kind of what this was doing.
Depends
here
on the movie, but yeah.
You were going to say something, Lizzie?
Yeah, I just agree. I wondered maybe if that was why tonally I wasn't quite in the right headspace, because I kept laughing hysterically at things. And like, I don't know, with horror, I feel like some types of horror work for different people. I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but like, some things that really freak other people out don't necessarily freak you out. And I was like, maybe this is just not my not pushing my buttons, and maybe that's okay. Maybe like other horror is something that would really freak me out, you know?
This show is like a box of See's candies.
And yeah.
Every once in a while you're going to get one and go, nah, that's not my favorite.
Like, for example, I was watching, I was on the Lord of the Rings podcast this week, the podcast to go on, and one of the things I didn't mention, but probably should have, is like there was a scene either this episode or the week before where someone's crawling through a tunnel and it's getting smaller and smaller. And I was like beside myself, like on the sofa, like hiding behind a blanket, like, oh, this is so terrifying. And like Peter's just sitting there like, this is really not scary. Why are you freaking out? And I'm like, because I'm so claustrophobic. Yeah. Whereas with this, I'm like, oh my God, Jesus, that's really funny.
Like, I mean, for me, there were creepy moments in this, like when she wakes up and sees a figure standing beside her bed, you know, a shadow, and then the lights go out.
Yes.
And there were a few others, but the Jesus one didn't, but I loved it. I was just like laughing my ass off for that part. Not literally, but you know, I was like, ha. Ah!
Yeah. The creepiest one for me was the photos changing. I found that genuinely unsettling. Like stuff like that always gets me, like, you know, oh, look, it's actually a picture of you, or, you know, oh, that was terrifying because, yeah.
That shrine, is that, I think it's like a memorial for a loved one who's passed, right?
Yeah, it's like an altar.
And so when they show their pictures there, her and her boyfriend, that's just saying, I mean, some people I saw interpreted that as they were dead the whole time, but I think it just means you're about to die.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to remember what the term is called, but it's an ofrenda, and they get set up, especially like during the Day of the Dead. And it's where you celebrate those who have passed, and you give them food and stuff like that. But yeah, that's interesting.
So that's why Idalia got rid of the pictures of the people she didn't know, but kept the one of Doña Alma, because she knew her tangentially, I guess.
Yeah, and I think at that point she had experienced at least the thing in the bathroom where the hands went around her throat. And I think she was starting to get freaked out, like, because I think she did want this place. But then when that started to happen, she changed her mind. And she was always trying to be the one who's like, it's not me, it's you, Eric. I don't do this stuff. But this now she's like, okay, shit, LaDonia's ghost doesn't want us here, so I'm gonna try. She was going around saying, we don't mean you any harm, like whispering, and I think that was a sign of respect to put her picture in the shrine. Yes. Or whatever.
Yeah. Like an offering.
Well, when Alma dies, blood gets splattered onto Dahlia, so I wonder if that affected her, because it was like Alma's blood on her, and she got, because when you said the whole her getting choked, I was like, oh, that's right, I forgot about that part. And I was like, and that's where the blood ended up on her neck.
Oh yeah, of course it was. Yeah.
So I was like, I was wondering if that was foreshadowing to that, of her being affected more than Eric, because she got Alma's blood on her.
To me, I know this is probably wrong, but my mind goes towards more real world explanations. So I'm like, okay, maybe the food was drugged, and it just seemed like Eric's trip came on a little later than hers.
Yeah.
I mean, he was tanking the stew. He was like eating it pretty quick.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Maybe he's got a better tolerance. Who knows? Maybe he was microdosing while they were out there.
Right. That would explain a lot.
Tolerance.
Yeah.
So anything else on that point, Lucy?
No. Oh, it was Danny's point.
Oh, so now it's your turn.
It was my turn. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was trying to act like I knew what was going on, right, but I actually didn't.
My point is just really short, like animals in this episode. I loved Paco, both Paco the pug, which made me really think of Jessica Howice, one of our Zed heads who has a little pug called George.
Cute, so cute. The most photogenic pug I've ever.
Little pug in the world.
She must be a great photographer, but
he does not have an autumn fall collection as far as I know, but you know, RIP original Paco, although in my head original Paco is like living his best life as like a street dog or something.
Right. He's gotten tough in the apocalypse, just like
Daryl. Yeah. I thought Paco the bird, they could have gone creepier. Like, he was quite creepy.
Yeah. As soon as that bird showed up, I thought, oh, this bird is going to be saying some fucked up shit.
Yeah, but so you're just like, don't hurt me. And I'm like, oh, I thought he was going to be, I don't know, I thought he might reveal fucked up stuff that had happened in the house or you speak with LaDonia's voice. Like, I was just
killed
a bit
your mother.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. But instead, like, oh, just an ignominious death for Paco. I was very sad. obviously, there were chickens as well. I do think that in the zombie apocalypse, chickens and eggs would be a really good thing to have. So she did have a pretty sweet setup there. I did kind of laugh a little bit when Idalia was out in the fog and was like, ah, and then like this chicken's just like, burr.
It's like, oh. Yeah, but then
how scary.
Then you see LaDonia's corpse pointing at her, going, "Yeah."
Then
they cut to commercial, and that was the one. That was what killed the horror in this for me more
the
than anything else.
The cuts were weird.
They kept
cutting
right at the high tension points,
and then starting.
And then
almost
starting,
as though
and
that
like,
never happened.
Yeah, she's at dinner. Like, yeah, I had another hallucination.
Yeah, because when I was rewatching, there's a scene where she goes down to the, I think it's the second time she goes down to the basement to see the tree roots. And I was like, oh, this is the beginning of the end because they're going to get sucked in by the tree roots. But then it cuts and then she's just upstairs like, I think I'm seeing things. And I'm like,
yeah.
How did you get out? What? When did you leave the basement? Like,
and she's got blood on her. So
yeah, she's covered in blood. And I'm like,
oh, you should have seen
what
just happened. It was so entertaining. And
yeah. I also, the last animal, well, there are two other ones. One is the kind of peacock wallpaper that turned into eyes. That was kind of a cool effect, like the peacock feathers, because
I love that.
They're supposed to look like eyes, like you see them often in art and stuff used in that way, so that was kind of neat. And I was really tickled by the fact that like Idalia spent the first half of the episode in this like old lady cat t-shirt, which just really amused me. It was just like five little cats on the front of it. I was like, oh. So yeah, just animals and kind of the supernatural there. I'm not convinced that like other survivors wouldn't have broken into that house already. I guess we assume it's just very, very isolated, but it wasn't exactly high security from humans.
They got in
so
pretty easy.
Yeah.
That's another question, like the timeline, like how far are they into this apocalypse that they're
right.
that because right. yeah you're completely right, that's the perfect spot to be like to be in, and so for it to not have been taken over,
I think they just tried to really impart, okay, this is remote and it's got this, you know, there's not that many people around. Okay, can you just leave us alone? That's the way it is.
I mean, part of me wondered if when I was going down the hallucination thing, part of me wondered if what we would see in the tree roots were like all the people that Alma had killed. Like she brings them to, like, I don't know, like she's a scary witch and she coaxes them in.
It wasn't though. That they like that's what Dolly said. It's everyone we've ever met. And everyone that you've killed. And that's why the implication there to me is they have killed everyone they've met. But I think that's why I feel like the episode is more about them and their own psychoses, because
rather than
that's who they saw. Yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. Well, I want to come back to the bird.
Wait, it's my turn. My turn.
Oh, is it your turn? Okay.
Yeah. Because I want to talk about the bird too.
Okay.
So my
it's
next
Paco
one
time.
It's Paco the parrot. I love that he opens up saying "Hola guapo," which means hello handsome, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's cold.
And don't hurt me. I thought he would say more messed up stuff, but I do think he was crucial because when he's flying around crazily and saying "What did you do?" That's because up until that point he was Eric's buddy, but then right after he says that, they're at dinner and the bird is squawking a little bit and he's like, you know, if that thing doesn't shut up. So I think that's really what got him. And then that whole scene where he's flashing back on everything he did and then the bird's flying around, it's like Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart a little bit.
Telltale
I feel like this telltale
parrot.
I think this whole episode is like that. And then it attacks him in the bathroom and then you just see him with it in his hand, such an intense scene. And then Dolly walks in and goes, "What did you do?" And I'm like, oh, that's the worst thing you could have said right now. You don't know.
Well,
it,
it's like the bird was predicting, wasn't it, don't hurt me, because he knew he was going to get hurt, and what did you do, because that's what she was going to say after he killed Paco. How did he say, what was it like, Paco is cold? Was it like Frigido or something? It was very cute.
Yeah.
When he was asking for more blankets. It was very sweet.
Yeah, that was super cute. And it it reminded me, I had a parrot when I was a kid. Well, my family did. My mother, actually, and it was named Paco.
No, really?
And yeah, and it always liked my mom best. And she would like scratch his neck just like you do a cat, and he would like close his eyes and be in bliss. And then I would stick my hand up there in place of hers so to maybe he wouldn't notice because he had his eyes closed. But as soon as he saw it was me, he would just start biting at my hand. And it was so sad because I was like 8 years old and I really wanted to be friends with him, but he wouldn't go for it. He only liked my mom. His beautiful Aww. Bird. It looked pretty similar too, green.
They live a super long time, no?
Yeah, like 50 years, I think. She ended up selling him. I don't know why.
He's probably still alive somewhere, Jason. You go and get him.
It could be. I Paco, and he's like, what did you do?
Brother, hermano.
He'll start biting at me, probably.
They smell quite good, parrots. I had a couple of my friends at uni had one, and I have to say, not a huge bird person, but she came and like sat on my shoulder once, and I was like, she actually smells really good, like kind of powdery. I don't know. It was nice. Apparently, she liked my voice. I was like, oh, must be a podcast listener. Well,
they poop everywhere, so.
Oh, their poop is disgusting as well. Yeah,
that's the bad part. Okay, now it's your turn, Danny. What you got?
Well, no, I was just going to
add your thunder.
No. Well, no, not really. I thought that they could have gone a lot further with the parrot, just with. Mm. Being creepy and just kind of foreshadowing, like, hey, like, exactly, like, predicting, like, oh, what did you do, you know, and all that stuff. And it would have been kind of cool if, like, Alma came through with the parrot and was, like,
right.
she was, like, messing around with them and, like,
yeah.
kind of saying things that would put doubt in their brains and make them question, like, what they're doing there and get them to fight to get the end result that they ended up killing each other at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the bird, I think the bird mostly just said normal bird things when Dolly was around and only said things that are a little bit like, would a bird really say I'm cold? Like, you know, like birds aren't that savvy. So I feel like maybe Eric was hallucinating almost everything that bird said, and that was really what the bird was all about in this episode, was just a catalyst for Eric to start to break his shell and start feeling like guilty about everything that he'd done. But yeah, it was still it maybe go far enough, I don't know.
Yeah,
interesting. Yeah, that could work. I buy it.
Okay, anything else about that?
No. Yeah, that's it about the bird, the parrot.
About the bird. Okay.
I'll say, what I do want to see is a cat, because I don't think there's cats in this universe. We've only seen dogs. We've seen horses.
We've seen Skidmark.
In Fear. Oh, the only decent thing about Fear was Skidmark. And now he's gone.
Oh, I must have blocked that out.
I'm with Daniel's you, Danny.
Cat, yeah.
I'm with you. Sandman did an extra bonus episode with cats in it, and I'm like, maybe Tales of the Walking Dead could do the same and have a cats episode.
Oh, that sounds so good, man. I just can't keep up. I need to watch that show.
Oh, Sandman's
brilliant.
We have a
podcast about it.
It's beautiful. I have not seen the extra episode, but I've seen the entire series, or the first part that was released all at once. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
It's so good. So good.
Mark and Jamie are podcasting about that. The Sandman cast.
It's brilliant.
Do you have another point you want to talk about?
I guess religion does. Yeah. I didn't really think about it, but it does kind of tie into this whole brujeria, because there's crosses everywhere. And again, pulling me from laughing, because when Eric's like, when did you, you know, like, when did you start believing in God or whatever? And she's like, right now. And then then he's all like, vaya con Dios, go with God. And I just started laughing. I'm like, okay. I was like, I always think it's funny how when things start to kind of go south for people, like, the first instinct is to turn to religion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a full thing, but I just feel like a lot of times when they're at their end of whatever they're going through, all of a sudden it's like, oh, maybe I need to pray. Maybe I need to go to church. Maybe I need, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
That can be in quick moments, like you're about to die or you almost died. Or yeah. It can be you've just hit your lowest point in life and you need something, you know, to change. You're looking for answers or direction. So, yeah, I could see that for sure.
Someone did point out in a review or write-up I was reading that actually, this person clearly not watched Fear, because we did have a whole episode about Judaism. I don't sound scathing because it was Judaism. I sound scathing because it was Fear of the Walking Dead. That aside from Father Gabriel, we don't really explore non-traditional religions in The Walking Dead often. It tends to be, you know, there's quite a Christian bent to sort of some of the Alexandrians and Father Gabriel, obviously. But mm-hmm. It's quite interesting to be in a different belief system and to sort of look at things like Catholicism or
there was maybe a little bit in early Fear with that woman in the ranch that, you know, they went to.
Oh yeah, in Mexico. Maybe
that's Catholicism too, though, actually. Yeah, I can't
possibly
remember.
Actually, yeah. But it's nice to kind of sit with it, I think, and look at how people respond to it. Because it does seem logical. I mean, the dead have literally risen. Like, that's one of the things the Bible says will happen. So I think when you're faced with stuff like that, you're probably like, yeah, I guess, why not? You know, if you're not, if you haven't lived your life in a faith-based way up to that point, it seems logical to me that that might be a point where you start to question that and see where it takes you.
Yeah. It just reminds me of when Herschel said, what did you say? Something about, you know, I was always taught that people would return, but I just didn't think it would be like this or something like that. I forgot exactly. Yeah. But
I always thought about religion and what role it would play in this kind of universe. Like, would be people be more drawn to like religion, or would people be like, oh no, like I don't believe, like I don't know, like I don't know if it would push you away from God to be like, oh no, this is the life that you're bestowing on us, or be kind of like, oh no, I need to pray more.
How could any God let this happen?
Yeah.
I would guess that people would be in general drawn more towards it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Needing something, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, where are we here? I think it's Lucy's turn, right? Yeah.
It is. I don't know what to talk about for my number one. Let's have a look at my list. We've covered quite a lot of it so far.
Yeah.
I did laugh that Peter, it's usually, a lot of my points are usually Peter made a funny comment, but when we were watching this episode and the hand came up from the grave, Peter was
God, I love that so much.
Yeah,
I loved it too, but he was like, you know, in the scheme of things, that's probably the least scary thing that's happened, because, like, you know, zombies.
Like, that's true, like, except rarely see that on The Walking Dead.
No, we never do, right? That and the crawling out was pretty fantastic. Things that did work for me in terms of scaring, the scenes where she thought that Eric was biting her were quite terrifying. Like, those moments where it sort of slipped into very uncanny realism versus...
And then, you know, obviously he wasn't.
Yes.
She had... So that was, I mean, some kind of hallucination, where it's whether supernaturally induced or drug induced, but it didn't actually happen. So that... could maybe suggest that none of the stuff we saw that looked, you know, supernatural actually happened.
The voices, I enjoyed the, you know, this is my house, this is my land. Yeah. That's really cool. The imagery of the roots was very interesting. I liked that a lot. I like the idea. Like, I'm not, maybe I am superstitious. I don't know why I always feel I have to start that sentence with I'm not superstitious, but I do believe that houses or land can be not cursed, but like heavy with some things. Like, if something bad has happened somewhere, or like, you know, that old trope about building something on top of a Native American burial ground, like that kind of thing. I'm like, yeah, I buy that. So this idea of the house having these roots in which there are like the symbols of their guilt and their past bad deeds loved that. Thought that was really, really cool. I enjoyed the hand coming up from the grave. I enjoyed La Doña Alma generally. I thought the actress was really good, and she played a very convincing sort of corpse as well as convincing old lady. And yeah, I'm surprised we never really came back to the bleeding walls. That was cool, but just mm-hmm. sort of never got mentioned. Like, oh, by the way, the walls in the basement are bleeding. Mm-hmm.
I like that at one point she finally said, you know, I've been hearing voices and seeing things, like, because I was a little bit like, why aren't you telling him any of this? But she finally just did. So at least it was a little late, but at least she did. And then he kind of mocked her. So that led to the divide between them, you know, wedge between them.
The stuff flying off the walls was very like, the power of Christ compels you. So I quite enjoyed that. But it did seem to get, like, when he closed the window and it stopped, I was like, yo, the breeze was not that bad. But it was a cool visual to happen. But that's when I felt it started getting a bit too all over the place in terms of who's seeing what and so on. So those were the kind of horror tropes that did work for me slightly more.
I wonder if that they put that in there to kind of like give away explanation to why the stuff was flying off the walls. You know, like to be like, crazy. Oh yeah, it was just the wind. You know,
just the wind.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I really thought the horror, my number three is horror movie moments. Mm. I'm only on my third one, by the way. Were really well done. They're maybe kind of tropey, but I enjoyed it anyway. It feels like an old 80s anthology show, like Tales from the Dark Side or Tales from the Crypt.
Mm.
And the creepy whispers, the forest. The Spanish, you know, esta mi casa. It's like, oh, I think I would be leaving right about now. You know?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go.
the creepy house, it looked great. And I don't know if we ever actually saw this scene, but you know how there's, I talk about the opening credits with the six scenes from each show. And this one was the woman looking into the house. And I presume that's La Doña looking into her house. Like, that's my house. All the candles and the Christian iconography, the Jesus's was one of my favorites. We've talked about a lot of this, the wallpaper, the hand coming through the grave, the pictures. Yeah, I guess we've mentioned a lot of this. I mean, the part that was probably the least interesting to me was the end when she's throwing them around telekinetically. But I really do think that it was about two people who have gone through the apocalypse as a team, but not quite on the same page and just killing a lot of people, and her trying to put it on him and him trying to put it on her. And that ended up tearing them apart and they killed each other in the end.
Well, they mentioned they hadn't been together that long before the zombie apocalypse, so I thought that was quite telling, that maybe they didn't know one another that well, and they'd kind of been thrust together in this very stressful situation, and seen just the kind of cutthroat nature of one another right from the start.
They were a cute couple. They had great chemistry. I liked when he pulled her into bed and just said, yes, want you close.
Aww.
And when he said, he took her hand and he goes, will you settle down with me in this sick ass house and do nothing for forever? That was cute. You know, stuff like that. So, and I think that was all part of the same, like showing that at the beginning they're together, but slowly there's a wedge driven in between them throughout the whole thing until they end up killing each other. It could have been done better, but I think that was the idea.
Agree.
Okay, I guess I've done with all my points. What about you, Danny? You got any more?
Just a few. I do like the way that stuff was filmed, especially like at the beginning where you're looking out at the trees at night, and then it like transitions into the day, and it's just like Blair Witch kind of like looking. And then the roots were, that root scene was actually really phenomenal. I did not like how Eric was very, very relaxed throughout the whole, like them being in the house and just being so cool and chillon and just like, yeah, I'm going to sleep in this Doña Alma's bed. I don't care that she just, she just died like 2 minutes ago and we're going to climb into her bed. I'm like, that's weird. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah. I don't know if I would feel comfortable sleeping. I mean, I get the whole aspect of like, okay, this is the apocalypse. You're going to sleep wherever you're going to be able to sleep. But you literally just like killed her like 2 seconds ago and you're just going to climb into her bed. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, she asks him like, are you glad she died? And I'm like, probably, because like they have a house now. Like, I don't know. I was a bit like, I know, like, oh, you monster, you're glad she died. But I'm also like, yes, yeah, the zombie apocalypse, you'd probably be glad.
Yeah, if it happened the way that it, like, they wanted to, one great thing about this show is we don't know if we can be on the character's side because we don't know them. Mm-hmm. And so they seemed fairly innocent. You know, they came to this woman's house and she was refusing them and they got upset and then she dropped dead and then they had to decide whether they wanted to stay there. But I think over the course of the episode, you realize that they would have probably killed her anyway. Mm-hmm. But anyway, if aside from that part, if it was just them being completely innocent and this woman dropped dead, if any one of us was put in that situation, I would think we would want to stay there at least until we started hearing people saying, "This is mi casa." You know? Right? Like, I would probably want to stay there.
I do agree with Danny though that he could have shown a little bit more remorse, just a little touch, little bit.
And the reason why he didn't, I think, is because this is part of their existence. Am I using this word right? Inured to it. Does that mean they're they've kind of lost sensitivity toward, desensitized to it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And then at the end, you know, Eric says, "Answer me this, Maria. You said that you ran into the Sonambulos, great name, by the way, sleepwalkers, looking for food with Maria, right? Then she broke her ankle." And she's like, "Oh, what? You don't believe me now? Because you were more than willing to defend me. They were friends of Maria and they were asking questions." And Eric says, "Yeah, because they didn't believe you. And I was trying to have your back." And then she goes, "And the guns you got off them, was that just an added bonus?" So I really think that she is trying to not have any responsibility for any of this. But really, she had a big part in it and just didn't want to admit it to herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. One of my notes was, did Delia break Maria's ankle? And like, kind of like that when Shane, you know how like she was, like Shane was trying to escape from the school. And I wonder if like the same thing happened here where she was like, well, I need to survive. So I'm going to break your ankle and I'm going to, you know, like I'm going to survive. Or is it like, oh, she twisted her ankle and was just like, sorry, I got to get out of here. You know, like, I wonder what Delia did to Maria to kind of warn.
I think she broke it. Yeah.
I think she broke it.
The whole thing when she's at the gate saying, you know, she did this to Eric.
Yeah.
I think it was ambiguous, but I'm inclined to think the way you do, Danny and Jason, and agree with you that it's, I think it was deliberate.
Yeah.
So before we get to like random notes, does anyone have any more larger points?
No.
You're tapped out.
I'm tapped out. I'm under my blanket.
I have a few. I thought they looked like models with red makeup smudged on their faces at first.
Yes.
In the live reaction, Dead said they're the Nikki and Paolo of this show. Which I thought was funny because I always thought that's a lost reference for people who don't know. And there were always these characters in the background and they brought two of them forward who hadn't actually been there, but they said, okay, these are part of the, and I always thought if they weren't so good looking that they wouldn't have stood out so much. And
yeah. They were like supermodels, right? Like, oh, we didn't notice them. How?
And, the guy who played Eric, I didn't get the actor's name, but he has a scar on his face, two gashes, and I wonder if those are real, you know.
I wondered that. It gave a kind of edge to his character of like being quite hardcore.
I thought it was kind of weird that Alma, not only does she somehow have electricity, but she leaves all the lights on in every room.
I mean, her generator must be like really
plus
good
candles. Yeah. I was mentioning how I think some of these might be too inscrutable or confusing for a lot of people. I kind of like it. One clue, if you don't quite know what they're going for in an episode, sometimes can be the episode title, but not with this show because they just title it after the characters' names. But I thought it was interesting they didn't call this episode Dolly and Eric, but they called it La Doña.
I like that as a kind of, because it is about their presence, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a cool name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking like it was Doña Irma's, Alma's presence in the house. So I guess the episode was more centered with her, not the two actual characters.
I don't know. All right. I think that's going to be it for our coverage of the episode and also our time with Danny as he's recording this on his lunch break. So thank you so much, Danny, for giving up your lunch break for us.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to hear what else everybody else has said with their comments and recordings.
Will we see you in San Francisco, Danny?
Yes, I am.
Yay!
So what I'm trying to decide, I'm trying to figure out when I'm getting there, and I don't know if I want to do Alcatraz. So that's kind of my hiccup of like, when
this
I come
an
in.
Optional thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will be there because I definitely want to meet you both. And Karen's going to be there, right?
That's right.
Hell yeah.
So I'm probably going to be there starstruck because I'm going to be, I feel like I'm going to be meeting some celebrities there.
Why is Josh Hamilton coming? Did he reply? Did he reply to my email?
You didn't just send one email.
Oh, no. Okay, my several emails, the letter, the text.
And it's going to be, I'm excited to meet everybody that I've been talking to in real life and have drinks.
It'll be wonderful. I can't
It's going to
be
so much fun. It's going to be great.
So I'm so excited to meet you.
Awesome.
Yay. I can't wait.
All right, Danny, thanks again. And we'll see you on November 20th.
All right. See you then.
See you soon, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right, we'll take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us. Ooh, witchy woman, see how high she flies. Ooh, witchy woman, she got the moon in her eyes. Obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens. The people it kills get up and kill. Are they slow moving, Chief? Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up. This is a Walking Dead cast news update. Well, speaking of the finale, I saw this press release from AMC Network saying AMC Plus will have a 2-episode season premiere, you know, like season 11C, on Sunday, October 2nd for The Walking Dead, quote, with subsequent episodes available a week early. So they didn't say anything about the finale not being available a week early. So I'm like, God, would AMC really do that? I don't know.
Well, if they're doing two, right. So hang on. So doing maths in my head. If they're doing two up front, doesn't that mean there's a gap of a week?
They do two on AMC Plus, but a one on AMC. So that means they do two the first day, you know, on October 2nd, 1 and 2, or what is it, 17 and 18. And then the next week they'll air the third episode while on TV it'll just be the second. So that'll be a week early after that. And if they end up airing the finale a week early, I'm not going to watch it until we're there for the live.
But how will we avoid, genuinely, how do you avoid spoilers?
I know, it's really pissing me off.
Like, just genuinely, how would we possibly, fuck, at this point, it's like, well, they live and they live and they've got a spin-off and they've got a spin-off. We're like,
yeah,
oh, okay.
What could you,
but
like,
I am.
I'm pretty sure, this is speculation, I don't know anything, but I just feel like Aaron and Gabriel are goners because they're the biggest characters that don't have spin-offs.
I've been expecting Gabriel to go for a while, given what happens in the source text. Yeah. But we'll see. Who knows? Who knows?
We don't
who
know.
Who knows? But yeah,
the source text like has changed some characters pretty considerably. Ezekiel would have been gone a long time ago, so we don't know.
We just don't know. I really hope that they don't release it early. If you're listening, please don't do that.
Don't
Thank
do
you.
It. Whoever's in charge.
Please,
but
thanks.
Man, if they feel like they can squeeze out a little bit more money or avoid people quitting in disgust because they didn't get to see it early, I don't know.
I mean, they're like, yeah, sure, quit if you want. There's one episode left.
No, they want him to stick around for an interview with a vampire and all that.
Oh, yeah, fair, fair.
Entertainment Weekly asked Scott Gimple if there would be a post-credits scene appearing at the end of the finale. He says, will there be a tag scene? I just got to say, maybe. We're up to some things, so maybe. So maybe there'll be like a little preview for what's to come, you know? I wouldn't mind.
It'll
that,
just
I mean.
Be Scott Gimple being like mysterious. Like, who's to say what is and what is not? And I'm like, I'm sure he's very smart and nice in real life, but also like, be direct.
That's funny. Well, one thing he did confirm is that the mid-credits scene at the end of World Beyond with the, you know, more intelligent zombies at the lab in France or somewhere in Europe would be a setup with the for the Daryl series.
Oh.
So that's cool.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. And then last, as I kind of alluded to, also airing October 2nd on AMC is the series premiere of the new Interview with the Vampire series.
Oh, I thought you were just making a really weird reference. I was just like, sure, Jason, that film came out like 3 years ago, whatever. No, okay, so Interview with the Vampire is in use. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It says, a sensuous contemporary reinvention of Anne Rice's revolutionary gothic novel. Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire follows Louis de Pointe du Lac. People who
our French skills
story.
Have really picked
I don't know
up.
The story. Jacob Anderson, Lestat de Liancourt, Sam Reed, and Claudia's Bailey Bass epic story of love, blood, and the perils of immortality, as told to journalist Daniel Malloy, Eric Bogosian. Chafing at the limitations of life as a black man in the 1900s New Orleans, Lewis finds it impossible to resist the rakish Lestat de Liancourt's offer of the ultimate escape, joining him as his vampire companion. But Lewis's intoxicating new powers come with a violent price, and the introduction of Lestat's newest fledgling, the child vampire Claudia, soon sets them on a decades-long path of revenge and atonement.
Mm.
You never got into those?
It was a bit before my time, and I've never really read Anne Rice, so I mean, Vampires feels very early noughties to me, but like, sure, why True not Blood. Early noughties, early 2010s, but sure, why not?
I think True Blood was in the 2000s. Mm. All right, that's it for the news. Let's move on to listener moans, groans, and grunts as well.
Bob Oakes says, that was some creepy ass shit right here. From the jump, I knew those two weren't making it to the end.
Yeah, and that's another thing I like about the anthology format. Like, you can take it really, like, these characters, maybe they've done some horrible things to survive. You could say that about just about any one of the characters we know in The Walking Dead.
Mm.
But since we followed their stories, we'll be less likely to be judgmental towards them, and so it just has a different vibe with these two people that we don't know, and they can have this tragic ending that can be an enjoyable little horror movie where you couldn't. Rick has done some horrible things, but if you had an episode like this with him, that would suck.
I think you expressed that really well in the live reaction, actually. Yeah, I think you spoke about that, and
oh,
it
crap.
Was really well
I blew
done.
It
yeah
I,
nah.
I said it early and now on the podcast, I'm not expressing it as well. You should go watch that, everyone. Thank you.
I'm no
just
worries.
Edit out all that equivocating and just leave in the thank you part. Okay, Bianx Vargas says, this episode scared me, and I think I watched it in the afternoon. I'll wait for your recap as I close my eyes through a big part of it.
Aww.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Sadie, right? Hey, Sadie says, I really strongly dislike this one. I hate to say it, but we barely got through it. At one point, paused it to see how much time was left. Sadie, I did that as well. I've never considered just not watching the rest of an episode, and I have watched every episode of Fear. Dear God, someone give Sadie a medal. Just couldn't get into it at all.
But Sadie, it was you and me who were talking about hoping there would be a horror one. I guess this wasn't her type of horror. Matthew Rimmer says, Ladonia, passable because last week was so bad, but little to recommend about it in and of itself. So Tales as a Series started well with a promising opener, and I enjoyed the format-shattering time twister. Alpha's backstory and the nature documentary were okay. Then the quality dropped off a cliff, and the purpose of the spinoff becomes less clear. The episodes, having been swapped around in their running order, seems to have been a dump-the-duff episodes at the end of this run. I think there's going to be a lot of varying opinions on this show, because I think the last two were probably my two favorites.
How do you think it compared to Devon?
I think it had better horror movie moments that I was more thrilled by. Mm. But all in all, I think I liked Devon a little better as an episode.
Yeah, I'm Team Devon, I think. Mm. Yeah. Alma Contreras says, did y'all catch Ladonia's name? Alma! This episode actually did have some scary elements. For me, anything dealing with Burgas scares me. I can't believe the old witch died so soon. Do y'all think they were being haunted, or was it just in that girl's head? I think these fools should not have stayed in her house after she died. They were just begging for more crazy stuff to come down on them. I guess they saved the best story for last, because this one did scare me, and it is one that could possibly give me nightmares. Eek! Moral to the story, never stay in a bruja's house.
And Jaime Moreno says, it's Jaime from Albuquerque. I was emailing you to touch on a couple things from this latest episode. First, I found the term sonambulo for walkers interesting. Sonar means to dream, and ambular means to walk or move, amble. Ooh. So literally translated, it means dreamwalkers, or as the show put it, sleepwalkers. Obviously, the term can have multiple meanings, but I'll let you guys discuss that. Well, it also means sleepwalker in Spanish. I assume Jaime knew that. I don't know. Mm. Anyway, goes on. Next, my guess is that there may be some confusion as to why Doña Alma was a witch but still has tons of Christian adornment. As was a fairly common occurrence when a conquering people brought a new religion to a region, Spanish Catholicism took hold in Latin America. But depending on the region, it was mixed with the local religion and became a thing of its own. So it's not uncommon for a Latin American to be a devout Christian Catholic, but also believe in a supernatural that is outside of the scope of the Bible. Things like curses, angry spirits, and healers produce brujas or brujos. La Llorona and curanderos, when someone who has grown up in a religion Latin household sees a witch with crosses, it doesn't feel weird. A Catholic from Wisconsin is going to have similar Christian iconography in their home as one from New Mexico, but the one here might also have, say, a dream catcher for more than decorative purposes. That's one of those like circles with yarn in the middle, I think, and like feathers or something. It makes sense that the walkers were named dream walkers, as I'm sure those who name them attach some sort of supernatural significance to the sudden appearance of the walking dead. Laters. Very cool. He answered really our question. I'm happy about that. Yeah.
Yay, thank you so much, Jaime. Nathan Eshelman says, with all six episodes in our rear view, I would be curious to hear people's episode rankings from favorite to least favorite. My order is 5, 1, 2, 3, 6, 4. But the first half is pretty interchangeable.
And I put those in for reference. I don't know if you want to do a whole order, but I was thinking maybe just like least favorite and most favorite.
My most favorite was probably Blair Gina. And I have to say my least favorite was probably this one.
This one.
Yeah.
My most favorite, it's tough because I like this series. Mm-hmm. And the one with Evie and Joe I liked a lot. Blair Gina I liked a lot. Dee I liked a lot. And last week's Devon and this week. So I think maybe last week's was my favorite. Devon.
Oh, oui, bien sûr.
It's close with the Blair Gina one, too. That was also great. And then my least favorite was the one with Amy and Dr. Everett. Although after we got into it a little more and podcasted about it, I did like it better.
Yeah, maybe that would tie with Ladonia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good question, though, Nathan.
Yeah,
that means Nathan's favorite was Devon and his least favorite was Amy and Dr. Everett. So, way.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, just like me. But I also want to mention while we're talking about Nate, he's in the Zedhead group and he often posts really provocative Walking Dead related questions, or thought provoking, I should say.
Mm. Then, just not offensive.
Not like sexy like nice. Or anything. Yeah. And, so we have this monthly Zedhead show podcast exclusive to patrons who pledge at $5 a month or more. And so this last week we had Nathan on to pose three questions related to The Walking Dead, like a what if you could change one thing, or things like that. And Karen, she was on too, and she's great because she gives thoughtful answers. So we answered his questions, and then we did a whole trivia thing where she and I competed on Walking Dead trivia questions that Nate came up with. Really fun.
Who won? So
you got to listen to find out.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So if you feel like finding out who won, you can go to patreon.com/JasonGabassi. All right. Ahuva, oh wait, is it my turn? Yeah. Ahuva Ohayon says, I see the different episodes as campfire stories with a fitting little Tales of the Walking Dead. What? Oh, with a fitting title. Tales of the Walking Dead. Each episode has a moral, and the supernatural aspects can be taken as exaggerations. With this in mind, I've liked all episodes of the season. Nice.
I love that. One of the texts that I liked reading about most in my PhD was by an Italian writer called Boccaccio, and it was called The Decameron, and it's about a group of like noble people who leave Florence in the middle of the plague and go and camp out in the countryside, and it's called The Decameron because over 10 days they tell 10 stories every day, so it's like 100 stories, and I like thinking about this as like a zombie Decameron. That's really cool.
Yeah, I read that in one of my English classes, not the whole thing, but some of it. Yeah,
I know, I'm always like, I read like, I would say whatever the word for 50% of a Decameron is. I did that. Brad Holt says, I have to say, I've only enjoyed 3 of the 6 episodes. I like the ones based in the reality of the Walking Dead universe, not ones with a Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt vibe. They were all top-notch productions, but not what I wanted. Where was the story of a street cop on the first day of the apocalypse, or a story about a funeral home worker dealing with the dead rising on the embalming table, etc.? I like both of those. You should pitch those, Brad.
I mean, you and I probably have the opposite opinion on this show. The stuff that's more Walking Dead related, I'm like, I don't want more of that. We've already seen it. And I was thinking, like, if... okay, there's a story about a funeral home worker dealing with the dead rising up. So he's in the funeral home, the dead rise up. He goes, and runs out. I mean, you would have to do some other interesting things to make these us care about a story about these characters that we don't know about. I do agree, Al, though, that it would be fun to see more episodes closer to the beginning of the series. But Brad, I think if you and I shared a box of See's candies, we would both like different ones, and then we would be happy to share the box together.
That's such a beautiful image.
Together it is. All right, let's hear from our one caller this week, and that is Steve Brown.
All right, here it is, Walking Dead cast. The is this the last one? Right, there's only 6. Ladona. How do you say it? Anyway,
Donya.
Episode 6 of Tales of Walking Dead. This is Steve. Oh, that's a cool shot going up the hill. Is there? Getting away from this zombie. Oh, Bruja. Remember that from, was it Ash and the Evil Dead? They had one of those?
Hey. Yep. Excuse me,
Ash versus the Evil Dead. That's a lot of candles. Oh, Sleepwalkers. There's another name for the zombies. Made me jump a little bit when he just slammed the table. And is she going to have a heart attack? I guess that's one way to get a place to stay. Kill the person living there. And he's just acting like it's nothing. Like, I guess he doesn't think he actually killed her himself. I don't know. That's a weak, if that's what you think. Yeah, you convince yourself of that. She fell. What's the significance of moving the picture and then snuffing and relighting the candles? What's that? Did she have a parrot? Okay, so she does have a parrot or whatever, a bird that talks. This just seems like it could go bad. I don't know if they're going the supernatural route with this woman and her ghost, but now they're sleeping in her bed, or at least they're cuddling in her bed. Ooh, are the walls bleeding blood? Is this like an actual root cellar that they're in and that she either dreamed or saw this body come out of? Oh, now you're going through her stuff? Oh, no. Jesus just got off the cross. Jesus. This is kind of like Ash versus the Evil Dead. When do you believe in God? Since today. Hey, the subtitle said Ladonia, so I don't know if that's a mic drop or not. Okay, that was intense. The fog and swiping with a knife and then, intruder! Oh, what's he going to do to the parrot? Oh, now he's seeing things and now he killed the bird. Oh, he's hearing and seeing Maria? Suddenly she was outside, and now she's coming back inside, and she's coughing. Did you not kill her brain before you buried her, and now she's crawling out of the grave? This is the Evil Dead.
Oh, that was another weird one. Can't wait to hear you talk about it later.
Oh, I'm so glad you called in, because you and I both loved Ash vs. Evil Dead, so it's nice to make that connection.
That is my new, like, things are getting bad thing. Oh, no, Jesus is getting off the cross.
That's bad news.
That's bad news.
He said, is this an actual root cellar? Is that a thing? That does sound like a phrase I've heard before.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to give root it a quick cellar. Google. Root cellar. I thought, oh, do you know, they mentioned root cellar in Lord of the Rings the other week, and I thought it just meant a cellar in which one keeps root vegetables, but I've just Wikipedia'd it, and yeah, a root cellar is a structure, usually underground or partially underground, used for storage of vegetables, fruits, nuts, or other foods. Mm. Its name reflects the traditional focus on root crops, but the scope is wider as a variety of foods can be...
Oh, no, then that sounds like you're right.
So that I was right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But this could be Steve a literal...
Yeah,
a literal root cellar. I like it. That's the kind of visual housing pun I'm here for.
All right. That's it. That is our show, episode 480. Thanks for listening, everybody. So do you want the series to come back, or would you be fine if that was it?
I'd like it to come back. I heard rumors of a musical episode. So
I know.
You know me. Musical episode.
We said that on the... I forgot to mention it. We said it on the instant recap, but I read that they had written like 25 plots. Mm. And I don't know if they wrote the complete scripts or whatever, but one of them is a musical.
I love it. And I like... What I like about this is it's like... There's a lot of gatekeeping in TV and a lot of like... I think a lot of new voices are starting to break through, and that's really great. But things like Tales of the Walking Dead are such a good incubator for new visions and new writers and new directors to try something out. So I'm all in favor of that kind of thing. I think it would be, it's really great. And I think they've taken some swings. There's been some misses. There's been some hits. I would be much more behind this coming back than like another spinoff or another season of Fear.
Of Fear, I know. Yeah, and I mean, Chani Powell came in and wanted to do something new and creative with this concept and give us this like seized candy box of different things each time. And I'm so much more here for that than just another typical Walking Dead type story with different characters each week. Blah. Mm-hmm. Gag me.
Yeah.
I don't want
that. No, completely agree. So, I always thought, you know, like, more. They had a good... I always thought when they first did Fear and we were introduced to Althea and she had this, like, collection of tapes of interviews, I was like, that's fascinating. Let's see who these people are and things like that. So that kind of idea of a variety of experiences of this trauma, I think, are really interesting. And doing fun, creative stuff with that, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd be up for it.
I mean, I wouldn't mind... a story here and there that's more like the typical Walking Dead, like kind of like the first episode was of this, you know, but and I would love to see more stories of characters we know at different points in the timeline. That would be fun to see.
Before
and what if
start
stories
like
I mean, if they could do a what if with Shane and Negan,
that would be incredible. Yeah, what if is, it's opened a lot of doors, I think, in terms of like,
I mean, really would be. That was so profound, Lucy.
It was so profound. Thanks, everyone. It's so profound. If you do want to go for a drink with me, this is the kind of profoundness
like
you will get.
If they could get Bernthal and JDM to do that, then this series would get a lot more eyes on it.
Oh, most definitely. But like, Bernthal's going to be like in Manhattan trying not to shag Maggie for the next few years. So like, you know, they've got bigger problems.
No, that's JDM. But yeah, Bernthal is like doing JDM. Like top tier films.
Bernthal's a fascinating character. Like I really loved his interview with Marc Maron, because like he trained in Russia. He trained as an actor in Russia. Like what the, it's amazing. He's a really, really interesting guy. I'd love to see more of that.
When I sat down to do a panel with him, and my first question was way too long that he stopped paying attention about halfway through and made a comment about somebody in the crowd, and I was like, all right, I need to switch gears here.
Yeah.
I think it ended up going okay, but
you should have asked in Russian.
If I knew, if only I knew. if you want to, well, let's see. I'll mention that, you know, the final 8 episodes of The Walking Dead, in case you didn't know, that starts in 2 weeks. And I decided 1 week from now to take a little break from The Walking Dead, have a little palate cleanser, and I'm going to have a special guest on. We're going to cover the 1996 Coen Brothers classic Fargo, one of my favorite all-time movies. And you're going to be on vacation or something, right?
I don't remember, probably.
You said you were going to be away that week. So if you want to come do it with us, that'd be awesome. But I have on my calendar, you said. So that's next week. And then after that is the final 8 of The Walking Dead. So I'll remind you, we're doing these instant recaps afterwards. So that'll be, I think, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. If you want to catch us on YouTube, go to YouTube and search Podcastica and subscribe. If you would like to write in or leave us a message about any of that, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And come to San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah. That's podcastica.com/TWD finale party. There's still people buying tickets. I think we have like 71 tickets sold so far. There should be like about 80 fans there watching it together.
That's amazing. Yeah. And while you're there at podcastica.com, you can check out our other shows, of which there are many.
Yeah, I'll just mention for now. Well, Andor starting just in a couple days is the Star Wars Rogue One prequel. Oh, is that come up already?
Wow.
Jonathan and James are going to be they're great, and he's, you know, Australian guys, and but also Lucy was on the cast of The Rings, our Rings of Power podcast. So
fun. If you want to hear how much of a nerd I actually am, you can listen to the first 10 minutes of me talking about how I spent my teenage years. Clue, was watching Lord of the Rings.
I saw it. You guys spent the first 15 minutes just talking about your fandom and not even getting into the episode. And it was really fun.
It's high quality content, guys.
No, it's fun. It's really enthusiastic. And then last, I'll mention this episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Fred Weisinger, who pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCavassi. Thank you, Fred. Fred came on to his first call-in show last month where we played Cards Against Humanity and won the game, which was really
fun. I love everything about that. I'm so annoyed I'm on a different time zone. I love those calls. But yeah, I'm glad Fred was there.
Cards Against Humanity at 6 a.m. California time sometime so you can play.
Or we could just play it in San Francisco when I'm there.
That's true. We should. Yeah. It's so fun.
Excellent.
All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening. Don't get bit. Jaime Moreno.
Es a mi casa. Es a mi casa.
Or something like that. I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
What did you do?